Do to the other one what you like to have. And that's so simple, so powerful message that sometimes it's so difficult to do it. So if you are really not putting ourselves in the shoes of the others and try to be empathetic to what they're struggling, how can we help? And how can we help each other because we also struggle? That would be fantastic.
Hello, I'm Adam Durrell, host of the Account Experience podcast. This is your weekly moment of refreshment in a world of ever-evolving beverages. So think of us as taking the sweet fizz of enterprise account sales combined with the smooth bourbon of customer experience. Together, it's a new and unique drink. Let's call it the Jack Daniels & Coke of account experience. And that, my friends, is a topical reference to the new Jack Daniels & Coke drink from Coca-Cola, just launching in Coca-Cola Latin America, which is where I am now, attending the first CX summit of Coca-Cola LATAM and Coca-Cola FEMSA right here in Mexico City. It's my first time here. What an opportunity to come here. It's a super place. Now, if you've been on the podcast before, you'll know that in every episode, I like to catch up with inspiring industry leaders or thinkers. They like to share best practices and tips. We capture them and we help you develop your account experience program as a result. I'm also a father of four, a founder, and fanatically interested in human relationships. And I love anything that furthers that quality of human connection. Today, I am talking with Paulo Mendes Jr., LATAM Value to Market Head of Coca-Cola. And he's been hosting a two-day summit here, educating more than 130 staff members from across the region. He's got an amazing background in the Coca-Cola business. And we get into that and about how he's been rolling out a common program of customer centricity to keep Coca-Cola innovating in delivering customer value, not only to consumers, but also to everyone in the B2B channel and the independent trade and so on. Today, he was so generous to share his progress that we start our interview in a noisy conference room, which we got booted out of after a few minutes. Hi, Paulo. I'd love to find out a little bit about your journey in Coca-Cola to this point. Tell me about yourself.
Thanks, Adam. It's a pleasure to be here with you. And my journey started, I was very fortunate. My journey started 30 years ago in Coke. And I started, you know, selling the street. And was, you know, one of the most important things in my life because I was able to understand the reality of how to sell.
Yeah.
You know, for different customers in different markets. And I was able to move in different positions, so working in supply chain, logistics, in planning, in commercial, in route to market. I was able to have, you know, for 9 years, a global role as a leader for all the company operations for both logistics and supply chain planning. And then I come back to Brazil. I was able to create an area of business transformation. Then I come back to commercial to lead the commercial execution in Brazil, then commercial execution Latin America, and more recently, to create the area for value to market for LATAM.
So before we get into value to market, I just want to come back to this. You started really on the field, right?
Yes.
In the field, working, going into retailers.
Yes.
And tell me a little bit about what that was like 30 years ago.
Yes, and that, I never forget the first time that I was selling to the very first customer because I went to the store and it was like, you know, a bar and he was fixing a toaster, if I remember correctly. And I started to talk to him and make sure that he understand all the promotions that we have, all the benefits that we can generate and the process that we have. And he was just, you know, fixing the toaster and was not looking to my eyes, was, you know, the head down. And I finished, you know, I talked for 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and I finished talking. And he, you know, looked at me, stare for a while, had the head down again and continued to fix the toaster. I said, he did not understand anything at all that I said. That was, for me, the most important thing because, you know, be able to connect with customers, be able to understand the customer language, be able to understand how to position to customer is key. And after that point in time, this was one of the key learnings that I carry for my whole life. And always trying to, you know, be on the other's shoes and see how can we, you know, share what our view and what I'm proposing in their view as well.
Now, everyone I've spoken to that comes up from that sort of field sales role talks about how busy it was. I mean, did you have to do many visits a day? What was your typical day like?
Yes, a typical day, you know, we started the route at 7 a.m. and 50 customers per day.
Incredible.
And come back like 5:30, 6 p.m. and you know, come back home, start a new day, next day, Monday to Saturday. So pretty busy.
But you've gone on a real journey. I mean, 30 years in the company, now you are in the VTM role. And that, I think it's value to market.
Yes, right? It is.
So can you tell us a little bit about what that means in the Coca-Cola context?
Yes, I think that's a major step that the company is doing, where we're evolving from the concept of route to market to the concept of value to market. And what is the difference? When thinking about route to market, we are just trying to get, you know, just trying. So we are trying to get the product in the point of sale with the right customer service level at the right cost level. But when you're talking about value to market, you really put the customer and the consumer in the center. So instead of you trying to think about what you need to do based on the capabilities that you have, you started to discuss and ask, what are the capabilities that I need to develop
right
to be able to fulfill that consumer, that customer needs? So that's one major step that the company is doing in this object of becoming, you know, fully customer-centricity
right
and consumer-driven.
It's a move away from the traditional view as we're just going to produce a lot of product. It's really asking the B2B customer what they want.
Yeah, not only the customer, but also the consumer. So start with the consumer in the center and moving back to understand what the customer that fulfill that consumer needs,
yeah,
and then be able to see what is the portfolio, what is the service, what are the support that they have, to make sure that we are really, really a partner with that customer.
And so you've recently started to become much more involved in customer centricity. So let's talk a little bit about that journey. What are some of the things that inspired you to go on your journey of customer experience here?
Yeah, I think the whole market is evolving in the last, you know, 10, 15 years. And in this evolution, I think all the companies need to develop the process and change the way that they operate to make sure that they can become a company that is easy to be, do business with, a company that really understands the customer. And I started to look at myself and look at other companies and look at the whole market environment. And we as a company started to see that there are opportunities for us to accelerate and become, you know, a leading organization in this area as well. And that's why we said, okay, let's not put all the process, tools, capabilities, and people with, you know, this phase. The second point is the company has a very clear purpose, which is to make sure that we make everyone's lives better.
Yeah.
That touches, you know, the product. So we become a company that it's a total beverage company.
Yes.
So we have recently launched some, you know, alcohol drinks, and we have, you know, juice, water, milk, sparkling, stills.
Yeah.
So the purpose of the company is really to refresh the world and make a difference. And make a difference means how can we, you know, help the customers, the consumers, etc. And it's a very humble position because you put yourself in a position to understand what the other stakeholder, what is the other entity needs, and how can you partner to help succeed together.
So when you think about the customer centricity, I mean, you're impacting a lot of people. I believe you said in the whole Latin America region, something like 4.8 million outlets. It's an incredible number of companies you're touching that are part of your supply chain and all of the families that are connected with that. I mean, it's a huge footprint you've got. So when you think about customer centricity, what sort of impact do you hope it's going to have on the lives of the people that you work with, your business partners?
Yeah, the first thing is we really want to take out all the pain points
right
that the customers have to do business with us.
Yeah.
That for me is key because, you know, today with all the digitization and all the digital transformation yeah that are happening in the last few years, we have a lot of opportunities and ways to implement things that, you know, if you look at 20 years ago, we're not able to do it.
Right.
So I think now leverage, you know, the whole transformation that digital is bringing is key for us to address those pain points and make sure that the customers can say, wow, Coke is great because doing business with them is something that's very nice, is smooth, they understand my business, and they help me grow. The second thing that I believe in this journey is that the technology itself that we are seeing is taking out a lot of the burden that we had in the past. Now, take a look on ChatGPT.
Yeah.
This is something that the company was one of the first ones to embrace. So we had a partnership with OpenAI, and we started to put in very quickly one market campaign in the market based and leveraging, ChatGPT. So that's Coca-Cola. That's right. The DNA of Coca-Cola is be able to bring in solutions and leverage things that happen in the market to connect more with consumers, help customers to do business and grow together. And the company not stop. No, it's 137 years. And it's just like a startup. It's just like a startup, to be very honest.
And 95 years in Mexico.
And 95 years in Mexico. Cool. And, we are partnered with startups. We have open innovations. So we do a lot of things to really, we don't have a fear to test, learn, and bring in, outside innovation.
This podcast is sponsored by Customer Gauge. And they're the experienced leader in the CPG market. And let me tell you why. They're contacting more people in the independent trade and modern trade than any other customer experience company out there. And you'll know the brands that they work with. We're talking Coca-Cola, AB InBev, Heineken, Just Eat Takeaway. They're literally pulsing millions of contacts around the world in more than 60 countries, multiple times a year, delivering those insights to thousands and thousands of frontline employees in those companies. But it's not just the CPG business Customer Gauge is famous for. They're ranked number one for B2B customer experience by Gartner. However, if you're in the CPG business and you have not contacted Customer Gauge to understand what is going on in your business, you're seriously missing out. Because we know there are other people out there just doing it once a year. Well, Customer Gauge gives you customer insights 52 weeks a year, right to the front line in real time. It's going to absolutely transform your business like nothing else. But don't take our word for it. Listen to the podcast and they'll tell you exactly why.
So you spoke about pain points. Are you able to give an example, perhaps, of somebody in the independent trade about some of the things that you think that the customer experience can help get through?
I think the most basic thing is we need to ensure that we deliver what was asked.
Yeah.
On time. That's the most important thing. It's as simple as that. So if you're able to do that, we're good.
Yeah. Keep the promises.
The promise. So we promise that it was interesting because when I was a few years ago, I was handling customer service in Brazil, and we had several surveys in the market with large retailers. And the answer that they gave for the survey was, I don't need you to promise something that you'll not deliver. I want you to promise something that you're going to deliver because consistency is as important as be able to promise something. So don't promise and do not fulfill the promise. Fulfill the promise that you said. So that's, if you're able to just focus on that and take out points that can vary from market to market, because some markets you have a lot of traffic jams. Other markets you have is related to raw materials, et cetera. So that's our focus. How can you understand the order to cash process and make sure that to take out the pain points throughout this?
That's a really good example of doing it. I mean, keeping your promises, I really love. And that, thinking about it, that's kind of similar to the golden rule.
Yes, it is.
That allows me to move into what we've just been experiencing. I mean, you've had an incredibly busy 2 days here for your first customer experience summit in the region. I want to say congratulations. I thought it was a superb event. And the event kicked off with Fred Reichheld talking about the golden rule. So I wonder if you can tell us a little bit about what the idea behind this summit was and about what are you trying to achieve in the company?
Yeah, the idea of the summit started with looking at and say, we need to gather everybody together, both the company and all our bottlers, partners, and dream together and create a shared vision about what we're going to accomplish to make sure that we can not only put this vision as one team, but also to see how can we accelerate towards this vision. So this was in the beginning of the year. We said, okay, let's do that. I talked with Luis here. And it was interesting after these 2 days to see that we accomplished the goal, which was everybody is living here with a shared vision. But more important, everybody's living here different from how they got into.
Yeah.
So they have a more clearly view about the importance of customer experience. They have a very clear vision about the steps that needs to be taken to get into this customer experience journey. And we have an aligned framework. So things that are key to not be just, a summit.
Yes.
So the summit was just a way for us to accelerate and really spark this energy, this collective genius for the system, and be able to accelerate the journey. And the summit itself for me was very good because what Fred mentioned, you know, let's try to do something to the other partner that you like to receive.
Yes.
The goal really is so simple. Yeah. I cannot disconnect this from what Jesus said. I can't. I'm sorry. I don't know if you believe or not, but this was the first one to say, do to the other one what you like to have. And that's so simple, so powerful message that sometimes it's so difficult to do it. So if you are really not putting ourselves in the shoes of the others and try to be empathetic to what they're struggling, how can we help? And how can we help each other because we also struggle? That would be fantastic.
So I totally agree. I mean, we'll talk about human connection in a moment, but just coming back to the event. So, you know, a lot of information was shared. What are some of your key takeaways? Did you learn anything in particular? And did you, or did the people that were here, because there were 100 people here, you know,
I learned tons of things. I can tell you, it was much more than I expect.
Yeah.
Because we were able to learn from other companies, we were able to learn from Custom Gate, we were able to learn from Fred, we were able to learn, you know, from our bottler partners. So it was really a collective genius. And I like this because this allows us to get insights from different points. And those insights sometimes is very simple. But I was looking at one movie, The Gladiator.
Oh.
And it was a scene that, you know, for me struck me as being a key scene. Because at that point in time, I think it was Russell Crowe was with the emperor. And he said, but how are we going to, you know, protect Rome? And the emperor said, what is Rome? And Crowe stopped and started thinking about. And the emperor said, home was an idea. And home is an idea. And he stopped about, at that point in time, look at the movie, and I really, you know, didn't pay more attention to that. I started to reflect to myself that everything started with an idea. Every great company, every great business, every great solution, everything started with an idea.
Yeah.
So if you're able to get one idea that sometimes comes from one insight and make this idea big and that's going to connect it to things that people need, this idea is going to become great, going to become large, going to become scale. So we were able to get several insights in this workshop, in this summit. I think, you know, the first one is that it's not just about NPS. It's not just about the Net Promoter Score. No, it's about the culture.
Yeah.
It's about the closed-loop process. It's about, you know, to ensure that you have the basic foundations in place that are going to sustain the results and help you to shape the organization across all different levels and succeed in the market. Because sometimes just put a metric is very simple. Just put a tool is very simple. Just put, you know, something. But create a culture. And that's why people said that cultures eat the strategy in the
for breakfast.
Yeah. No? So be able to connect this customer experience to the culture itself, I think, was a key one.
Yeah, First of all, I was honored to attend the conference.
Thank you. I'm glad that you're here.
But I took one of the things that Fred said at the end, he said it before, but I like it. It's about humility. Be humble. And I think that is such a powerful message for a large organization like yours to take on board. I think you already have a pretty good way of dealing with customers. I mean, you wouldn't be successful if you weren't. But I can really see that you have a vision to just keep going one step ahead. And that for me really shone through. I was very impressed with that.
Yes. And one thing that I really learned, I did a PhD. And what I learned is that I don't know pretty much anything at all. I don't know. That was the key. After, you know, 5 years of study, I said, we don't know. And the more you know, the more you are humble to understand that you don't know. So the more we evolve in this journey as a company, the more we deep dive and try to become better company and better with our customers, the more we are humble to say, there are more things to do. And let's keep, you know, doing it. Let's accelerate the things that we can do. Because we'll not settle at any time. So it's just 137 years, and we are just beginning. I can tell you, the growth potential, all the opportunity that we have in the market to fulfill really consumer needs, to touch the life of consumers in a way that they can, you know, enjoy a moment. They have a feeling and a sense that this moment is key. It's something that it's our DNA.
Let's talk about the culture of the geographic space we're in. By the way, this is my first trip to Latin America.
Welcome.
I'm really excited to be here. You've had global roles in the organization. So how do you typify, for example, adoption of customer experience in this region? What do you think will go faster or slower? Can you speak about that?
I think Latin America, it has some important characteristics. First, usually the Latams, they are open to new things.
Yeah.
Much more than other places. So that's key, because when you bring something new, they are open to say, let's test. They don't come up with, let's get you 300 questions, and after you answer the 300 questions with positive answers,
yeah,
I can go and test something. No, but Latams are open to test. I think the second thing Latams are open for, embrace the new, especially when talking about digitization.
Digitization.
Yeah. So it's something that you can see the level of digitization that you have in Brazil, that you have in Argentina, yeah, that you have in Chile. So countries that pretty much you don't have money circulating, you are doing Pix in Brazil or digital wallet in Argentina,
yeah,
etc.
And we see things like WhatsApp being used as a
WhatsApp
real frontline
in Latin America. WhatsApp in Latin America is everything.
Yeah.
You don't have that in the US. You don't have that in Europe.
That's true.
You're just talking about SMS. It's still SMS.
And by the way, I think that makes business really intimate. So you're already along on the way, I think, to really personalize a relationship.
Yeah. And the last point about, I think, Latam is that we, as a business, we really want to continue help set the agenda for, I think, the organization, for the industry, to help, shape the future. That's something that we do. We have several practices that were developed in Latam that was, spread out. But at the same time, come back to the humbleness.
Yeah.
We kept a humble approach to say, what are things that outside Latam are doing that we can bring in? For instance, the whole custom gauge is a clear example. It was not developed in Latam, was not implemented in Latam, was actually implemented in Europe.
Yeah.
But we learned that was good. We benchmark and we said, this is great, so let's import. So it's not just us trying to develop ourselves and develop things internally like an Iceland, but to be able to connect with the rest of the world, learn what they have, understand how to bring in and how to leverage to get the business better.
Yeah, I mean, I've also seen that you are some way into your journey, and I see some real acceleration on this. Congratulations, by the way, because you've got a lot big territory to spread this out on. What do you think is going well with your customer experience program, and what would you like to do more of?
I think we are just starting, to be very honest. And I think what's going out well is that we have the whole Coca-Cola system, Coca-Cola and bottlers, together in this journey. It's not something that the company, not something that just the bottler, is the whole Coca-Cola system. And that's very powerful. I think that's working very well. We have early adoption, some of our bottlers, like Coca-Cola FEMSA, Coca-Cola Arca, they embrace this and they are really pushing this forward. And what can accelerate, I think it's not only be able to get more regions and more places with the foundations implemented,
yeah,
but also being able to really have a process and something that's very sustainable.
Yeah.
We don't want to do this like a wave. It's a wave. We're going to do this, et cetera, for the next island, 1 year and a half from now. Yeah, what's the next wave? No, how can we get, the foundations in place? Is it sustainable? A good business, a good operation. It's an operation that started the journey and keeps growing over time. And I never settle. It's just, keep up the pace for that. And I think if we're able to get more regions, at the same time, we're able to get the regions that we are with sustainable process, that close the loop, yeah, educate the organization, create the culture, et cetera. I think we're going to be great.
Yeah, I think so too. I want to touch on the digitization path that you've been talking about, because you said that's a huge thing that's going on. Technology is really transforming the lives. But it seems to me one of the things that if you get customer experience right, it actually connects back to the human. And I want to try and relate this back to how you started your journey in the company. You were doing 50 visits a day. And if you put yourself in the shoes of today's sales reps, how do you think that customer feedback empowers the salespeople? Are they scared of it or will they embrace it? Talk a little bit about if it were you doing it.
I think the most important thing to ensure that we get people engaged is to make sure that they understand the why and the how. Most of the time, the blocks that we have in people, It's not because people are blocked, they are not engaged, they don't want to do things, etc. Most of the time, the issue is that I don't know why I'm doing that, and I don't know what I'm expected or you expect me to do, what I expect to do. So if you're able to connect with those frontline leaders and, you know, across the organization, because not just frontline Salesforce, you know, you have supply chain, you have finance, you have everybody touch customer experience. So if you're able to do that and explain them and engage them in a way that they understand why you're doing this, which is, you know, to better connect with customers, as well as how and what is the role they expect from them in this whole mosaic, I think we will not see a problem, because we have been through the digitization for a while and we didn't see a problem.
Yeah.
Because people understand why we're doing this,
yeah,
and how this will benefit them.
Yeah, I agree. I think my dream is that the reps are able to reduce some of the friction in their roles and really come up a level, but to really become trusted consultants on that one. Paolo, thank you so much for your time today. It's been great to speak to you.
Thank you, Adam.
So much for bringing me here. And I wish you every success with the program. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here. Bye-bye.